You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Browns fans, don't miss the excitement and action live at First Energy Stadium. Now is the first chance to secure your Cleveland Browns 2015 season tickets by placing your deposit today. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 for more information. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Michael Regei in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Time to bring in now our producer, Emmett Golden, the man who ushers the figure skater apparently around. I didn't know that before just now, and I can't stop laughing about it. Emmett, come on in for a little fact or fiction.
Fact or fiction.
First up on fact or fiction, the Browns will finish with a winning record over their final seven games.
That is a fact. I believe my best guess is that they'll finish this final seven games at 4-3, which would mean they finish at 10-6. And I do believe if they beat the odds and beat a team that most people will think that they cannot beat, they have an opportunity to finish at 11-5.
That's fact, and I'm going to be greedy, my good man, Matthew Wilhelm. I want five W's in these last seven. So nothing wrong with being greedy, nothing wrong with believing that you're a winning football team, and nothing wrong with going out and showing that every Sunday. So fact, but give me five for a total of 11, please.
I'm going to say fact as well. I think the Browns will go 4-3 ultimately over the final seven, finish at 10-6. I wouldn't mind if they go 5-2, 6-1. Heck, why not go 7-0? Why not? Let's run the table to end the season 10 straight wins. But, yes, I believe they will have a final winning record over their final seven games. But it's got to start this Sunday. They must have this game against the Texans.
Fact or fiction?
Two teams from the AFC North will make the playoffs.
I'm going to continue to say – I'm going to go with fiction. I just believe that they will have one representative into the playoffs. I know Nathan said two. It can go back and forth, and I think the way in which teams are playing right now, they're very wishy-washy. Cincinnati was up, then they're down. Pittsburgh up and down. So I'm going to say one, and it will be the Cleveland Browns.
I'm going to go with fact, and Matt, I tended to, for the last couple of weeks until last weekend, to be with you on fiction, but I'm going to say yeah, that two teams are going to make it, because I think that you're going to start to see, I mean, these are, you know, when we're talking about Baltimore and Pittsburgh specifically, these are teams and organizations that know how to get to the playoffs and know how to grind in late November and December. And, of course, we believe the Browns are going to be there. So I'm going to say fact, Nathan, that indeed another one joins the party, two from the AFC North.
Yeah, I think it's a fact. I've said that earlier, and I still believe it to be true. Two teams from the AFC North will make the playoffs. I think it's going to come down to who gets better quarterback play down the stretch between Roethlisberger and Joe Flacco. I think that Cincinnati's going to have a tough time. I think that you're starting to see confidence wane a little bit in Andy Dalton in that building, and certainly from his playmakers out wide. You saw it on Thursday night, and I don't think that defense, with some of the losses in the offseason and some of the injuries in this season, is nearly as tenacious as it once was, and I think that's going to be a recipe for a tough finish to this season for Cincinnati, who has to go on the road for each of its next three games.
Fact or fiction?
Thursday night football is bad for the NFL and their teams.
Well, Thursday night football was created because it's a good thing for the NFL. Now, to answer the second half of your question, it is bad for some of their teams. So I'm going to go with fact and take the higher road as a former player. And I just believe, when we talked briefly about it yesterday, that the short week is difficult. We're seeing a lot of blowouts. And I would think, if I were the NFL, I'm evaluating those ratings where people are tuning in very early and tuning out as of late. And look at, and again, I'm very excited and proud that the Cleveland Browns came up on the higher end of that spectrum. So it is a fact. It's bad for football. Maybe go back to, a 6 weeks of football being played on Thursdays. And what would that mean? That it means you'd have to spread the primetime Mondays and Sundays more throughout the NFL, as opposed to seeing Denver, Philly, and New England so consistently.
Certainly we know it's a cash cow for the NFL from the monetary standpoint. I mean, nothing but big dollars rolling in from the television side. But I happen to hear Chad Pennington, the former quarterback of the New York Jets, discussing this on ESPN. And I'm starting to see where, yeah, from a physical standpoint, the toll it takes on teams, their preparation, how they perform, Yeah, I'm going to say fact. For the product, it's starting to become a problem.
I think it is. And ultimately, you like it. But, yes, you can see teams aren't able to prepare for those games like they should. Physically, the toll that this game takes on players' bodies, you can tell that if a team gets punched in the mouth early, a lot of times on a Thursday, they just, all right, whatever, I'm out.
Yep.
We'll get back to it next week. But, Matt, from a player's perspective, just kind of can you put in context for our listeners how physical, let's say you're a guy who's out there and you're playing 60, 70 snaps a game, how the toll on your body is coming off of that Sunday game and what your normal recovery and true recuperation period is on a normal week, and then imagining having to do that and then play on a Thursday.
Okay, so my best way to explain this is if you're, say, middle of the season, you're 90% in most cases going into every game, just saying that you're not 100%. And after a football game, you're knocked into that 40 to 50% ratio on, you know, physically healthy and exhausted and so on and so, and emotionally exhausted, all that stuff from a game on a Sunday. I would say the way in which I kind of would talk about preparing for a football game, by Wednesday morning, I felt like I was back in that 80 to 90% range,
okay,
which is then your grind of a week, which is Wednesday and Thursday. And also, to, you know, mind you, that the grind is no longer truly a grind like it used to because of the practice schedule. So you're 100% by Wednesday. And that being said, on a Thursday, you figure Wednesday, when you finally get back into it, your grind day is a walkthrough day. So you're able to mend your body. But also, too, is your physical preparation for the football game has diminished. And so you haven't essentially clashed pads or even put on your shoulder pads since you took them off on Sunday. And then you're putting them on again to play another football game. And that's significant from a week-to-week standpoint. And then when you talk about time, we're creatures of habit. Playing on that Thursday forces a monkey wrench into so many different things when it comes to you as a player, because you do things certain way. I mean, I'm sure in our locker room, Carlos Dansby, to prepare his body physically to play a football game, he eats a certain way. He drinks a certain amount of fluid. He does certain things on certain days, massages, you know, I don't know whether it's acupuncture, all those things to prepare, and you have to bunch all that up in 2 days to get ready.
Yeah, I think it's tough, and that's right there, the perfect player perspective. All right, we got one more fact or fiction question to go.
Fact or fiction?
J.J. Watt is a legitimate contender for NFL MVP.
I'm going to go with fact. He is legitimate, meaning he will be in the conversation, but I do not believe he can continue to do and play at the rate and produce the way he's been producing now that he is truly a marked man in the National Football League for all 16 games that he will play in. Whereas a quarterback, i.e. Peyton Manning, or look at Rodgers or Roethlisberger, if they make a late run, don't get hit, don't have the type of physical atrophy, you know, imposed on their body on a week-to-week standpoint. They get to stand back there and look pretty and throw the football. And as we all know, this is a scoring league, an offensive football league, and those guys will trump a defensive player 9 times out of 10.
While he won't win it for the reasons Matt just laid out, yeah, I'm going to say fact, too, and I think it's tremendous that a defensive player that can be so destructive and have such a marked effect on football games is being recognized as such. You got a game plan for him, guys. Enough said. You got a game plan and you got a scheme against J.J. Watt, because if not, he can disrupt you. And virtually we've seen it. Single-handed, he can be in the end zone. He's a touchdown maker as a D lineman, up and down the D line. So, fact, but I think it's fabulous that he is a guy that's opened up a lot of eyes, how strong a defensive player he is.
I think he is the best and most disruptive defensive player in the NFL since he's joined the Texans. They're number one in quarterback hits, number one in quarterback completion percentage allowed. You talked about him scoring. He's only the fourth player in history to have an interception touchdown, a fumble recovery touchdown, and a touchdown catch in the same season. He's already done that this year. Only player in NFL history with 14 sacks, 14 passes defense in the same season. He's all right now, top 10 in the league in sacks, tackles for loss, number one in quarterback hits, number one in fumble recoveries, number one in passes defense as a defensive lineman.
Stop, Nathan, already. Stop,
that's
please.
It.
He is the best defensive player in the league. Now, ultimately, the fact of the matter is he's playing at this level that I just outlined, and yet this is still the 29th overall defense in the NFL. If you had a quarterback who was playing at that level, they would not be quarterbacking or piloting the 29th best offense in the NFL.
Right.
So he can only do so much, which makes him in an MVP race tough. But is he maybe the best pure football player in the NFL? I would say yes. MVP, I would say no.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And one other relevant point, only because it has to do with our Ohio State Buckeyes, is I believe that a player like J.J. Watt and how, as you said, Reg, destructive and productive, as you just statistically laid out for us, Nathan, a guy like Joey Bosa, who was already in his true sophomore season being compared to J.J. Watt, a player like J.J. Watt helps a guy like Joey Bosa in his draft status, because he's backing it up with his play, but then also, too, as you see, that interior defensive line and how destructive and productive a guy like J.J. Watt can be, you now say, I want that guy, you know, on my team to do what J.J. Watt is doing right now in the National Football League.
Guy is absolutely phenomenal. All right, we're going to read a couple and answer a couple fantasy football questions before we get out of here, as we said we would here at the top of the show. Anthony Guerra asks, right now, should I start RG3 or Matt Ryan? I've got Julio Jones. Who do I go with at quarterback? I think they're very similar this week, but I do like RG3's matchup against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have been awful against quarterbacks all year long, top three in points allowed of that position. So, Antonio, I would go with the man, RG3. Think he's going to have a nice game. DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon, got the weapons. So we'll see what happens there, but I like him. Seven, even the Beast at 7E says, Monty Ball, Fred Jackson, and Reggie Wayne for McCoy and Flacco. I always like to make trades where I get the best player in the deal. The best player in that deal is LeSean McCoy, so I would do that trade to get McCoy if that's what it was. Another question asked at Augsvlog says, if you currently had Megatron, we trade Josh Gordon for Julio Jones in a keeper. Yes, because you know Julio Jones is going to be playing for sure. Josh Gordon, I'm excited to get him back, but not sure how that's all going to ultimately play out. At King11C says, PPR League, Bryce Brown or Brandon Oliver? Bryce Brown's going to play a big role with Fred Jackson out this week. At 32B Hawkins says, Rashad Jennings, Monty Baller, Charles Sim for flex. Sounds like Jennings is going to play, so I would go with Jennings. And at Lauren J. Cook says, Miller, Riddick, Sproles, or Sims, pick one. If it's a PPR league, I like Riddick. If it's a standard league, I like Lamar Miller. And finally, for the Browns, who's getting the carries this week? West, Tate, Crowell, Jim Brown at Brandon Bland says. Brandon, I think Terrence West is probably your best bet if you want to go with a Brown. And then finally, we got Jordan Watts, a Bryce Brown or Lamar Miller tonight. If it's a PPR league, I'm going Brown. If it's a standard league, I'm going with Lamar Miller. So there's some fantasy questions to get you ready to go here. Want to give you one update from Pro Football Talk. Jadeveon Clowney says he expects to play this week. What does that mean for the Browns?
What does it mean for the Browns? It means one more identifiable body. I don't know how productive he'll be because of his inconsistent play, and I don't think he's truly grown into an NFL pass rusher that is a serious threat. And also, too, I think that because of where he'll line up, he'll be rushing against our own Pro Bowler, Joe Thomas, consistently, and I look for us to win that battle more often than not. But it's another identifiable element, and essentially what you're getting is you're getting a star-studded performer at the collegiate level now, potentially making an impact and playing next to J.J. Watt from time to time. So it's a threat, but I think his athleticism and his length is what scares me the most. I don't think he's going to be all that productive.
Nathan, I'm with you and Matt. I'd be very surprised if he has any type of disruptive influence on this football game. I believe in the Browns, not only the offensive line, but whether we're talking about keeping a tight end in, the backs helping to chip. I don't think that the Browns are going to have to tilt anything defensively to deal with a Jadeveon Clowney. Right now, to me, it's more hype than substance.
Yeah.
I got to see it first. You said the key. College side, yeah, that's fine, but greatly different here. These are grown men we're talking about on O-lines in the National Football League. He's not going to come in and dominate O-lines in the league.
I don't think so either. We got time to squeeze in one last member of the Dog Pound, Mike in Middleburg Heights. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
Hey, I've been a long-time Browns fan, 46 years old. I haven't looked forward to a, a, season like this since I cried in 86 and 87. Loving this season.
It's a lot of fun. Yes, sir.
Quick question. I just wanted to get you guys' take on the special teams, and I'll hang up. Do you think there's something that Coach Pett and Coach Tabor is seeing in practice that's not letting the younger guys like a Marlon Moore, who had that huge kickoff return that got called back on that horrible holding call? But is there a reason that they're not returning punts? I mean, I love Jim Leonard, but I think in a game like this, something like that would be a huge spark, especially at home. Thanks for taking my call, and I'll listen to you guys on the air.
Nathan, one word that jumps into my mind, and then I'll let you go because I know you've talked to Marlon Moore about, you know, catching punts versus kickoffs, is I think it's trust. You know, Mike Pettine plays or coaches this team and approaches the game on a safer side. So it's trust when it comes to Mike Pettine. Trust that they can transfer that from the practice field to the game.
I think there's a part of that. Marlon Moore told me he's more of a kick returner than a punt returner. It's just not something he's done a ton of. He said, I could do it, but that's not something he's done a lot of. The guy I want to see get an opportunity to return punts, I've said it before and I'll say it again, is Taylor Gabriel. I want to see that kid. He did it in college. He knows he can do it. So I'd like to see him get an opportunity. I think we're going to see Jim Leonard and Jordan Foyer once again. Thanks to all of you for being with us here over the last 2 hours. Thanks to Doug Deacon for stopping by for the roundtable. Thanks to Jim O'Neill for stopping by for his weekly press conference, which he has to do anyway, but we'll thank him nonetheless. Appreciate all of you for tuning in. For Michael Regeye and Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned to the Golden Boys, and we'll see you next time tomorrow on a Call Your Shot edition of Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
See ya.
Go Browns.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.